a bit about the set, if you will, here. People, American audiences are going to be shocked. So they're going to say, my goodness, this woman was the Minister of Parliament. And yet, behind Paul, she has sticks stacked up in the corner.
When I came here, she was out in the potato field working away there, pulling spuds. Do you want to have a quick word with our Kathy here?
I do.
Come on over and say hello to this Yank. He's a fine-looking fella, young fella like myself, as you'll see.
Say, don't these Irish people
I'm going to give her the headphones so you can say bye-bye to our Kathy here.
I will.
Big star to EWTN, Kathy, with Celtic Connections for 8 years on the Three Wise Women television program. Kathy, have a seat.
So Kathy...
I'm here in my farming gear.
Your famine gear. So American audiences that are going to see this are going to think, my goodness, does this woman not have electricity? Well, she's on the internet. I'm pretty sure she does have electricity.
I do have electricity, but that's my heating, all that wood.
So you were the co-host with Celtic Adventures with Paul. For 400
Celtic
and some
Connections,
Celtic
yeah.
Connections for 400 and some odd episodes.
Yeah, yeah.
And what did you? And
well, I was the host. Paul was the producer.
Oh, so you were the talent. He was just. But it seems to me like he was always trying to take the show over.
Oh well, he was. He's the one. He was the mastermind.
Well, I had, you don't know this. Well, actually, you do know this because a couple of years ago, our mutual friend, Kevin Turley, KV Turley, put me and you in touch. We actually had a conversation. Do you remember this? We had a conversation about 2 years ago. And we were talking because Kevin was telling me that Kathy was a Minister of Parliament. Can you tell our audience, you were an MP. You were an MP for Ireland?
It's called MEP, Member of the European Parliament. Yeah, for what's called Ireland South, which was Munster. Ireland was divided into four sections, and so Dublin and then three provinces. And then, of course, under the UK, Northern Ireland also had an MEP.
And so, you were there, and you were that MEP for how long?
5 years.
Now, is that a set term? 5 years is a set
term?
Yeah,
5 years is a set term.
You swam in sharks with evil people. I mean,
I was an independent and I wasn't a politician. I had come out of both pro-life and disability, you know, those campaigns, and kind of did what I needed to do. But also discovered a lot about Europe. You know, I came to the conclusion that the reason that there's a European Parliament is to fool people into thinking there's democracy.
Mm.
Because when there's the Commission, which runs Europe, there's the Council, which are all the prime ministers and presidents, and there's the Parliament. And the Commission, whatever the Commission wants, the Commission gets. So, you know, during my 5 years, we, you know, kind of worked on a lot of things. But one of the big issues for all 5 years was the embryo. You know, the defense of the embryo would be from my point of view. And it was different aspects. But basically, scientists wanted Europe to be able to pay for work on that would destroy embryos,
right,
that would create embryos, on chimeric research where we could mix them with animals and things like that. And so we spent years fighting that and, you know, really trying to bring in the ethics in it and this sort of thing. And I remember a meeting. We were going to have, you know, this enormous vote in the parliament, and it looked like we might carry it, you know, and what it would do would be to ban European finance from funding anything that was destroying the embryo, right? And so, you know, if it was approved in a country, and they did it Okay, but no Europeans, so no taxpayer was paying for. And I remember we had a meeting because I was leading for my group. You have different groups in the parliament. You had about seven groups. And I was the one leading this effort in my group. And we had a meeting with the commission and with the council and with the group leaders in the parliament. And we're all sitting in a room, and this is like the Thursday before the next week where we're going to be voting. So the last day of that week. And I remember that all the members of the commission were German. All the members of the council were German, you know, the council representatives. And four or five of the seven parliamentary leaders were German. But anyway, we kind of said no, you know, we talked about our objections and all the rest. And basically the commission sat there laughing at us, and they said, and I finally said to them, are you telling us that no matter what we vote as a parliament next week, this is going to go through? And he said, yeah. Or they said, yeah.
Right.
And and I said, so why are we having a vote? And they said, well, that's procedure. So in other words, what they were saying is that even if we got the majority, the 50%, that it would then go back to the commission and they would bring it back, and then we would need 2/3. And then even if we got the 2/3, they would then take it away and then come back and have like an all night, sometimes 2 or 3 day long pressure thing where finally just a few representatives signed off on it. Now, as it turned out, we came very close, but we didn't get the 51%. But they had already told us it didn't matter what we did. The EU was going to become involved in embryo research, destructive research.
And you could see that when you were saying that the Germans were involved. It's always the Germans. The Germans.
Well, it just was very noticeable. But and I did see that in other processes where they just laughed at us. No matter how much we worked and got the vote out, they were like, well, the next round, you'll need 2/3. So, you know, don't worry. It might take a little more time than we would like, but we're going to get our way. And that was it. So it really came to the conclusion that the reason for a parliament and these big elections every 5 years was to make people think there was democracy.
And that's the way it works here, too. It's to make people think that you have a voice and that they're going to listen to you when we know that they're not going to. And the decisions have already been made above your head. Most of what happens is just, it's kabuki, it's what they call kabuki theater. It's to create this illusion that, you know, you need to keep voting, hoping, and coping. There are many people here, though, in the United States who are ready to go back to a good old-fashioned king or a good old-fashioned queen. Or, hell, we even sign off on a system of barons and a feudal system.
Start with honest elections. And, you know, Paul was talking about the pro-life referendum or the abortion referendum. And it was very interesting to watch the universities in Ireland groom the students to basically vote twice, to vote at university, you know, signing them up to vote at college, knowing they were already signed up to vote at home. And our vote register is so corrupt, it actually, even the UN, we rate with very, you know, banana republics for the unreliability of our vote register. So I don't know. I did a lot of canvassing during that, you know, going to doors and asking people to vote for life. And I am not convinced the Irish voted for abortion. I think it would have been close, but I think that, and also I know my own daughter paid for ads on Facebook.
They pulled them.
Pro-life ads.
They pulled them.
And what would happen is they would put them on so quickly that you couldn't even couldn't even read them. And then they would immediately put on a lengthy pro-abortion statement or ad, which was free to the abortion site, Facebook. And after the Irish referendum, one of the vice presidents of Facebook bragged about the role Facebook had played in bringing abortion into Ireland. So I don't know. I will always hold out a reservation on whether or not we actually voted for abortion.
So I think that we have to wrap the show up here now, but I think that this is a great Celtic Connection show. Was there a conspiracy in the referendum? Because it sounds to me like that there was. And that maybe you and Paul can produce a documentary or a show on this, because this double voting, this happens here all the time. And there are people that are illegals. Yeah. They get registered to vote, and they don't live here. And
oh, we had all that, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You get a fake address. You just get an address, and somebody will go like, well, I went to the house, that address exactly, that it exists. But you don't know that person lives there. So, this happens. It happens so often. It's almost like there is. It's not when someone says you guys are a bunch of conspiracy theorists with your New World Order. Well, it pretty is a global. It's a global cult, a cult of death.
Yeah.
When you were talking about the chimeras and the making of the chimeras, this is what these clowns are. And you know where they're going to make those at? They're going to make them in Ukraine. The bio labs are in Ukraine, which is why the cult of death is fighting so hard to do what it's doing in Ukraine, to see to it that the diabolical Zelensky regime can remain in power there, because he's going to look the other way, because his kraut ruling masters are going to tell him, yes, create the chimeras and do it in Ukraine.
Yeah. Well, you know, the first thing we heard about the Ukrainian, you know, situation, I mean, obviously, it had been going on since 2014, you know, and there were a lot of broken agreements and all sorts of. But the new one was the Irish embassy, you know, putting out this alert that Irish babies in Ukraine were in danger of not being able to get out. And I was thinking, Irish babies in Ukraine. And it turned out these were all paid for surrogates, that it was Ukraine is now the surrogate capital. And so, you know, they were like, oh, Putin has attacked and we can't, and we've got to airlift all these babies, many of them still inside their mothers, you know, out of Ukraine, because these are Irish babies.
We did a story on this. Babies. We did this story about the surrogates that were being shipped off to Ukraine, because it's illegal. It's illegal in the, at least in part of the UK, some of this is illegal, so we'll just go to Ukraine. You just have it in Ukraine, and then after the baby is born, you come back, and then you put it up for adoption or whatever, and then they make the transaction. It's all contractual, you see. It's a transaction at that point.
Yeah.
This is obviously a very fertile field for discussion. So, Paul, when are you going next back to see Kathy? Thank you, Kathy. Tell Kathy I said thank you.
He says thanks, Kathy. And as you can see, they preferred Kathy on there, you know, because they said, if I go on, I might frighten the children.
The children left. When you came on, the children, well, some of them stayed and went like, Mommy, is that Santa? No, it's not Santa. Okay, so I got to.
How do you think such a thing? I don't know.
I have to wrap this up because I'm now 20 minutes over our time. We can do this here because we own the radio station, so we just extend the clock.
Praise the Lord. I'll tell you one more thing if you want. But you were talking about eggs. I heard you earlier on the price of eggs. And Mr. Biden is up in a place called Ballina. On the farm there, they breed three-legged chickens. And I went to see them. And as I'm coming up the drive, this chicken runs right past me, and I must have been going 30 miles an hour. And I said to the farmer, I said, this is amazing. Three-legged chickens. I said, do they taste as good as the two-legged chickens? He says, I don't know. I haven't been able to catch one yet.
Three-legged chicken.
If you believe that, you believe anything.
Yeah. Paul, thank you and Kathy very much. We must do a show about this Irish referendum.
Yes, indeed. It's sad. But also, please God, we'll get to tell you some of the wonderful lights on the faith of people in Ireland.
Let's do
you
it.
See, Ireland is consecrated ground to Our Lady and to the Christ the King. That consecration stays in the ground. And all of the sacrifices, so Ireland, the fumes of the faith and a rich Catholic civilization are still alive in Ireland. So God is not finished with Ireland. So please, God, we'll tell you about that more next time, too.
Sounds good. Well, Paul, we have to go. Thank you very much. God bless you and Kathy. Thanks for the story about the Titanic, and we'll schedule another one soon.
Sounds good. God bless you all.
All right.
Pray for Ireland.
Every time. Yes, sir.